previously on Bleak Prospect.
As you're bringing it to you, it bites you in the neck. Coombs loses 3 hit points and falls unconscious. But in the process, it disappears inside of him.
The Apocalypse Players present Bleak Prospect. A Depression-era scenario for Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition by Scott Dorwood from the Nameless Horrors Collection. Starring Dannon McAleer as former socialite Maureen Frayne, Joseph Chance as former businessman Thomas Dolan, and Dan Wheeler as former medical doctor Nathaniel Coombs. The keeper of arcane lore is Dominic Allen. Chapter 11, Quantum Parasite.
But I can't go into minus, can I? So I'm on 0.
No, you're on 0 and unconscious. Are you unconscious? 0 hit
points. I think 0. I think I rolled to find out whether I am, right?
Yes, I think it's a constitution roll, right?
Constitution?
Well, could be worse.
This hasn't happened to me for a while.
That's exciting.
Oh, well, I mean, these dice are working for me tonight, aren't they? 91. I am unconscious.
Buckadoodle.
That's 3. That die has come up 93 rolls in a row.
So, Coombs, you gain 30 power and 20 luck.
Well, I could use the luck. That's fantastic. But I'm unconscious. 30 power and 20 luck, did you say?
Yeah.
Essentially farming it, right?
And unfortunately, you don't get an opportunity to share this revelation with your colleagues.
No.
So you're feeling amazing, even though you're unconscious, but they turn around, it looks like you're dead.
Yeah. And I will be if someone doesn't help me out. Really powerful, but dead.
Oh dear.
Some kind of martyr.
Well, again, I think it's the luck of, you know, the doc had done the extra thinking and you hadn't quite said all that stuff out loud. And so I'd asked at the beginning of this conversation, you know, if there's one of those things in me, you got to get it out. So what I've seen is he's taken much more initiative than I was expecting. Mm. I freaked out with the Roscoe Molloy thing, calling myself Molloy. I see this thing coming out of me. And I'm seeing one of these space eels coming out of my stomach. And I lose it. I've failed on a 71, on a 36, 34, San.
Coombs, as far as you're aware, has taken a bullet for you. He's taken it out of you and died.
Yeah, and he's just... So I'm looking back at him, he's rolling around, it's gone into him. Do I see it bite him in the horror, or am I just to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm in your hands, Dom. I can make an offer for involuntary, but I don't know how much sand I lose.
I think if you're turning... You'd almost certainly turn around to see what he's doing. You'd definitely see it.
How much do you want me to take?
Ooh, gee whiz, let's roll something.
It's like a D2, right? Maybe D3 max. After everything I've been through.
You lose 3 sanity points.
No, no, you're not listening. You're not listening to me.
I said D2. Very clearly.
D2 plus 1. And I rolled a 2. For all you know. Hey, you did really well on a D20 roll.
But I've done really well up until now. I was the last sane person. Something just came out of my stomach. I just said, if there's one of those things in me, I want you to take it out, and you reached in and you took it out. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a living nightmare. Yeah. You have triggered an indefinite insanity. I say you. That's very unfair. My indefinite insanity is triggered. I've lost 9 of my 40 sanity.
So much body horror.
A bout of madness.
It's very...
I don't get an intelligence roll, do I? Because it's not a 5. No, it's indefinite. Yeah, it's...
I think while this bout is being... While the bout is being revealed, I sort of maybe glance back in the rearview mirror and see the bite and the slump, and I say, quick, check on him. Do you know first aid? Do you know, can you drive? Oh, God, how far is the hospital?
As you're saying that, can you give me a drive auto roll.
I was going to say.
Because at that moment, as you're saying that, you hear Dolan's seatbelt unclip and it whizzes back and he screams this rage-filled bawling, and he starts punching the dashboard, and then suddenly he's climbing over the back seat and saying something like, "I'm gonna fucking rip you out of my friend, you piece of fucking shit," and he's just and he's plunging his hands into Dr. Coombs in this fit of
that's not first aid
fit of pee,
abdominal punches.
I'm gonna get in there, man.
This red mist has descended, and you just gotta kill that fucking thing. You saw where it went. It went inside him. You're gonna get it out. Yeah. You're gonna kill it.
Oh my Christ.
You might kill me in the process.
Can I push my roll, please?
We are.
No! I mean, yes, by all means, please do.
We're having some times now. We have some times, my friend. Can we improve our dice rolls now, guys? Come on, it's been poor.
I got a 59 on my 50. 50.
Ooh, 50 strong. Go for it.
It feels like.
You can't spend the luck. Well, how much luck have you got?
Not much.
If
it's 9 is like more than half.
Here, let me get the worm and I'll give it to you, and then you can have the fucking luck.
I
don't know that.
I don't. I just.
We're loads of luck now.
I mean, how would I push it? I just try my best to blank.
Drive faster.
Everything. And I do. I put pedal to the metal.
Close your eyes.
I turn off the automatic targeting system and I use the force.
Close the window.
I just close the window. No, but I think I do speed up slightly. Just it's that like confidence thing of like, I can do this. I used to tear around a lot. You know, I'm an experienced driver and I just focus on the road. I block out that noise, the horrible noise, the thudding and squelching from the back as God knows what's happening. And I just think of the hospital.
As Dolan's elbows catch you on the ear, he climbs over the seat.
And I just think of the hospital and I think of Esther and I think of getting her there. And I just focus on the road. And I get a 44.
44, that's it. Yes.
On a 50.
By 6.
Oh.
We're still in this, guys.
You sort of go up the sidewalk and there's a lamppost and you swerve out the way.
Okay, drift.
You drift around a corner. The back wheel just bumps the curb, but you keep going.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So you come to a screeching halt outside the hospital, outside the Bentham Hospital. There's a few lights on. It's got a really nice private front lawn with a long set of brick steps up to the door. It's one of those sort of East Coast brown brick things. But let's see how Dolan's doing in the back seat.
Mm.
Can you give me a... I think probably you don't. There's no resistance because, well,
he's out of it.
He's out of it, and it is possible to just phase through him. So I just need a luck roll to avoid getting bit.
Okay. So I reach my, I find the phasing space. I'm scrabbling at his neck and his chest. I'm pulling his clothes. I rip his shirt open, and like I get the belly, and my hand goes in. I thrust in, I sweep around, and it reminds me of looking for trout on the edge of the river, as my father taught me how to do from the old country. Of course, he used to use the old tricks. Do you know that wasn't bad? It was 23 on a 6 this time. Not bad. So I've been bitten,
good,
but I found the fucker, right?
Yeah, and it's not just. It's unfair to say it's you're being bitten. It's also just grabbing it is difficult because it's covered in these spines and it's razor sharp.
Yeah, they just go into my hand, right?
Yeah.
I almost relish the pain. In fact, I do because I'm mad right now.
Oh God!
You lose 3 hit points.
Fuck me.
Are you conscious?
Yeah. I was the one who could possibly lose some more, which is a real shame, but. Yeah,
but you've got it in your hands. You've got it in your hands. Your hands are ripped to shreds, but you've got it. What do you want to do?
Yeah, well, it's trying to kill us, isn't it? It's gone into him.
Mm.
The kids are there. That's terrifying.
It's squealing.
I think no matter whether we're moving or not, I punch the door open and throw.
Great.
But if we've stopped, I probably want to throw and stamp.
I think more. Given that Maureen was driving this whole time, I think you're probably still in motion.
Yeah. So I'll try and punch the door open and throw the thing out.
All I need is a throw roll.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah. And we all have great
just
stats.
Just double check what...
Henry.
Yeah, it's usually it's good.
It's the first stat I beef up.
You don't need to be good at guns if you can throw bullets.
Exactly.
I think what I possibly meant was that I wanted to operate some heavy machinery through this.
We wanted to use that trebuchet.
Because of my accounting mind, would I be able to calibrate the distance that I need to throw it and the speed with which the car is moving? It's not really accounting, it's more just math. Okay, so throw is base, which I believe is 20, or is it 10? Should it be 20?
I think it's 20.
I'm going to say 20. Throw 20. That is a... son of a bitch, it's a 24.
Spend the luck. Spend the luck.
Yeah.
I've got 6 luck, guys.
Not anymore, you don't.
24. It's like a curse. It's like a curse.
I would argue, what else are you going to do with 6 luck?
Also, knowing Dom, otherwise it'll just reverberate off the back window and land in your fucking mouth or something.
With 6 luck, it's your luck. Yep. Spend as you choose.
No,
I would say, when else are you going
to... I'm just in fear, guys. That's all it is. It's fear. I've been trying... I'm going to try and be more honest about this than the players. I'm now afraid. And so what I'm going to do, and mostly of my own pride, right? Because I just don't want to feel like I failed lose. You guys. Or indeed lose. That's kind of just defaming the team. It's like,
yeah.
And also I don't survive, so there's fear of death, yeah. You're right, Dan. But, damn it, I'm going to spend the 4.
So with that spend of 4, you boot it at the car. It wraps around a lamppost at high speed and bursts. It's dead.
Nice work.
What happens when you hit 0 luck?
You're out of luck.
It's just all out of luck.
It also means if you are with the group and there's a group luck roll, it's an automatic
fail. It's an automatic fail.
So you become a real albatross.
You're a pariah, yeah. I mean, with 2 luck, I basically am already, but at least this is a chance.
Every time the group splits, they'll send you on your own somewhere.
Yeah.
You're on your own, kid.
You go with Dolan. No, you go with Dolan.
But I think I yelled, yeah, take that, you son of a bitch.
Just as the car screeches to a halt outside the hospital.
And I slam into the seat and I fall back onto the unconscious or semi-conscious form of Dr. Coombs.
And phase into him, so you're both just sat in the same seat. You sat inside him.
Yeah, I think I do clutch on and I check maniacally to see if the kids are okay. So if anyone was to look
besides
in...
Besides the flaking skin and the emaciated complexions and the feeble breathing, the kids seem fine.
Bravo.
I mean, as soon as we stop, my instinct, if it is...
You're going to turn the gun on them.
I kill all of them.
3 shots. You and Esther walk away.
No, I am. I know, I get out of the car... And rip open the back door, and I want to grab the 2 kids, 1 under each arm. And I want to say, I mean, how aware am I of Dolan's, like, fit? I was using my push roll to focus on the road, but I've been hearing this mad shit. But I did hear him say, take that, you son of a bitch, as he threw something out the window. So I think I've already pieced together that...
I'm crazy.
Right. And I think I say...
Acting crazy.
I get the kids away from me, and I say... Look after him. Look after the doctor.
I gotta check them.
Yeah, no, I'm checking them now.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I'm gonna go for her abdomen.
I'm gonna attempt to carry the kids into the hospital.
Is she running away from me?
Yeah.
But she's in denial again.
Oh, Christ.
I guess she is. And alongside you, Maureen, Professor Hawkes is saying, "No, no, no, this is the wrong idea. We've got to get back to the house. The only way to save your children is to use the device."
Professor Hawkes, we were in the house and the device, it made such strange images, and I don't think you're right. I beg your pardon, but I think they need medical help now, and then we can take them back to the house perhaps afterwards. But
you've got to take them back to the house, though, Maureen. Don't forget.
Oh, I will.
I start looking for who she's talking to, and I'm whirring around looking for this person, and I can't see her, and I'm getting more and more frantic.
The streets are weirdly quiet.
You just see this lank hair, tattered woman with a child under each arm going, "Yes, I will. Oh, yes, I won't forget," as she runs into a hospital.
As she's starting to run away from me, I'm terrified that Coombs is overexposed. So I pause and then I run after her. But with Nathaniel back in the car and Frayne at the doors, I'm sort of halfway between the two of them, going, "I don't know, and I think I do go, "Son of a bitch! Roscoe Malloy!" And I start just punching the pavement, the sidewalk.
Hulk smash moment.
As if it is fucking Roscoe Malloy, and I start just punching the sidewalk.
Turns green.
So, just to recap, Coombs is unconscious on the back seat of the car. All the car doors are open.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like parked up on the grass.
Well, three.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Maureen is bustling into the hospital holding these two dying children. And Thomas Dolan is going apeshit on the floor. So, yeah, you burst into the hospital reception area. It's deathly quiet.
I think you need Coombs.
We should have gone back to the Hooverville. Fuck.
We should never have had that conversation in the car.
No. Yeah.
But if we hadn't, I mean, that's a genius moment Coombs has had.
Yeah.
It might cost us everything. But, I mean, what else can we do? Without the pieces of the puzzle, we're never going to get any closer. We're perfectly poised. This is exactly where we're supposed to be, right, guys?
On the brink of death.
Dorwood wanted us here all along.
With quite a few clues. And yeah.
Dan's got this. He's been rolling terribly all night. That means he's due.
I mean, this is perfect for me. This is how I like this game to end. Dead, knowing almost everything.
Yeah. We've been in worse shape, to be fair. We've been dead knowing fucking nothing.
We've known nothing and dying.
It's true. Yeah.
It's true. Or we've known nothing and no one's doing anything. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Comrade, sit by the file. Let's not say anything. I don't want anything to happen.
So yeah, the reception is deserted except for a nurse sat behind the desk. She's reading a newspaper. She's reading the Crawley Examiner, and she looks up at you over some horn-rimmed spectacles that she's wearing on a chain. Her hair's up in an austere bun.
All the ghastly spectacles I've ever observed. Those perched on the end of her nose. By far the worst.
And she glares at you sideways and very good. And says, "Maureen Frayne, what's going on?"
I kill her. No. What? I assume I recognise her, or do I not?
She's a regular nurse there. You might know her. Her name's Doris Kane.
Right.
She would certainly know you, of course, but.
Of course. So she's probably someone who would know me from my time as a socialite rather than since the fall of the House of Usher.
Mm.
Yeah.
But she wrinkles her nose in utter disgust at you as you stumble in.
Is it? Well, do I know her name? Should we say I do? Yeah.
Yeah, Doris.
Doris.
Say you do.
These children. I normally apologise for my appearance. I've been attacked. And these children have been attacked and they need urgent medical attention. This is my daughter Esther, you remember?
Attacked?
Yes, attacked. Kidnapped and attacked.
By whom?
By ruffians. Who do you think?
She looks you over and says, "What ruffians? Isn't this a matter for the police?"
What? You think a dying child is a matter for the police rather than a doctor? Look at them. They can barely breathe. The pulses are very weak.
Miss Frayne, I'm very sorry that circumstances have befallen you the way they have.
Yes, a crime has been committed.
But coming up with some long, shaggy dog story is not necessarily going to get you any medical attention. I'm very sorry that things are the way they are, but that's unavoidable.
I think this is more Dannon than Esther, just the rage that's building in me, but I think it is Esther, than Maureen. I don't do that. I sit, there's seats around, right?
Yeah.
I think I lay down Esther on one of the seats, and I just go and lay Billy on the counter, and I say, check his pulse. Do you want that on your conscience? The death of a child? You want that on your conscience?
Give me a... I think I'd need a persuade or an intimidate, I think.
What's my best one? I don't have an intimidate listed or a persuade. Got charm, but I'm not being very charming.
Or fast talk.
I've got etiquette, but one does not generally lay a dying child on the table.
Which is why you went for that move.
Yeah, yeah.
Strong.
What would you take? What's the base level?
Well, I mean, base for persuade is 10. Base for intimidate is 15.
I guess it's intimidate.
I think the sheet is correct.
Sounds right.
I mean, I'm being intimidating. I'm placing it,
but I'll take fast talk.
Fast talk.
Or charm is 15. Or fast.
I've got excellent charm, but I'm not using it. So
base for fast talk is only 5.
Can I go intimidate? I lay the child down, and I'm basically saying, "You do want that on your hands?" When the Gazette, I point to what was the paper she's reading again?
The Crawley Examiner.
The Examiner. You know, I know several of the journalists there. And when I tell them that I brought dying children to the hospital...
They're in the Hooverville.
you think...
It's true. You do know them.
One of them's in a dustpan. I just swept him up.
I mean, I think I'm bullshitting, but it's a bullshit role, right? And I say, how do you think they'll react?
Well, in that case, you can do fast talk. You can do fast talk as well if you're bullshit.
Well, my fast talk isn't listed, so it would be 5. I'd rather do intimidate. So I basically am threatening her with culpability in the child's death by laying his body out on the desk. And that's a 33, so no.
Don't have the luck. Can't push the roll, really. Not on a 15.
It would be a bit mental.
She gives you a blank look, and she says, I, of course, I want to help, but I am under strict instructions not to admit people from the Hooverville.
Strict instructions from who?
That's from management. From Dr. Cavendish.
Fucking Cavendish.
I see.
Maybe it would have been good.
I will check his pulse, but I can't let you stay at the hospital.
That's fine. Well, he's not my responsibility either, so... I'll leave him here with you, and you can watch him die while I go and look after my daughter. How does that sound to you?
What does she do about this? She
presses the little buzzer, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think so. She presses a button under the counter, and she says, I'm calling the orderlies.
He's not my child. This is my child. This is not my child. I wanted to get him help, but he is not my child, so... You have done the same as me. I found an injured child. I brought him to the hospital. You're saying you won't treat him. I can't treat him. So I suppose we're at an impasse.
At that point, an orderly arrives from the corridor. He looks a bit tired.
I'll shoot him. No, I'm joking.
And he sees the scene in front of him. He sort of takes it in for a moment. He says, what's going on?
Well, I found this injured child nearby, and I'm just delivering him to the hospital as any good Christian would, and now I'll be on my way.
Is there a chance that I might have gone in after to see if I can catch up with Maureen?
See if you can kill everyone in a fit of rage.
To see if I could take this thing out of her.
Sure. Yeah, I think your bout of madness has passed now.
Well, if the bout of madness is passing, yeah, so in which case probably I come to you. With my hands bloody and useless. They were badly injured before, but then I pummeled 2 7 shades of shit out of them on the asphalt. There's blood covering my hands, and I'm looking around, and I see the car, and I rush over to Nathaniel. But oh no, but my hands are useless. But I look back at the door, and I sort of see there's this altercation. I imagine there's sort of those kind of long... long glass windows in the door.
Exactly, yes.
That you can see through. The lower half of the door is wood, but the top half is glass at least. Mm. And so I can see something of what's happening, and maybe a figure has just joined the... And so then I'm doubly torn, but I think I go to Nathaniel to desperately try to help him, because I don't...
What do you want to do?
I want to see if he's alive.
You glean that he is alive, but unconscious, and in desperate need of help.
And first aid's not going to help, particularly. Would I be able to...
First aid could help.
A temporary hit point might be...
Stop me dying.
Right.
First aid would be very... First aid.
I haven't already died, have I? Is it rounds?
If you haven't got a major wound,
you've got some time.
You're just unconscious, yeah.
Fine.
And the worm has turned 23 on a 30.
Yes.
Better, my friends. The worm was possibly an inappropriate thing to call on. The eel buster has arrived. Now, that's just aggrandized, and that's going to fucking chase me now, and I can't... Essentially, I've rolled a 23 and a 30.
So I come too, do I?
You gain a hit point.
In the meantime, I'm smearing my own blood on my face, desperately sort of smearing on the last dregs of my dignity, which, let's face it, were the very last dregs. And I think I'm also trying at the same time to sort of patch up my own hands, if that's all right with you, Dom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But obviously I'll take penalties as you give them to me.
Sure.
Coombs, I lost it back there. I got real angry. I'm sorry. I just...
No.
We're here at the hospital. Maureen's gone in.
I got the thing out of you.
You've got Billy in there as well. Let's get you in there. And I'll desperately try and drag him up.
I got it out of you.
You did. But then it went for you. I killed it.
What? And I put my hands to my own abdomen again. I'm now, I think, slightly obsessed with touching people's abdomens.
No, that's not your abdomen. That's mine. Get off.
With both two solid stomachs. I think it calms my nerves a little bit when I'm a bit confused about what happened.
Stop touching me. Stop touching me, I'm telling you.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. Where are the kids? Inside?
I'm saying, Billy's in there. Come on. I mean, we got to teach you a speech to your fellow, your pal.
Cavendish. Yes, Cavendish. I stumble towards the door.
And I'll drag him up the steps. I'm exhausted as well, obviously. Mm. Have you still got your power and luck, then? He hasn't taken them away, has he? Shit, this stuff's good. Oh, I see the problem.
Some good shit.
Addictive.
So we're going up to the front.
Yeah, you stagger in to find that Maureen Frayne is now...
Escorted out.
Not being manhandled, but definitely being physically held by the shoulders and walked towards the door by the orderly. Unless you're resisting him in any way.
I mean, my daughter's sat on one of the chairs, so I'm going to go to my daughter.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, well, he lets you do that.
And I'll say, we'll leave in a moment, and then I want to try first aid on my daughter. Since we're in a hospital and no doctors will help me, I'll have to do it myself.
Doris sort of sighs.
This fucking Doris, man.
She comes over with a first aid bag from under the counter. And puts it down next to you. And she says, be quick.
And that level of bravery is the most we can expect from the American healthcare system, even today.
True. There's a lot more than you get today. A lot more than you get today.
Yeah.
Yeah. That she wouldn't give you a first aid kit. She'd give you a bill.
Die or pay.
whoa, where's Cavendish? Where's Dr. Cavendish?
Doris turns around and says, Dr. Coombs?
Yes.
You look terrible.
I know, I feel terrible. Where's Dr. Cavendish?
Well, he'll be in his apartment upstairs.
Would you be so kind as to get him?
She makes a face of deep inner conflict.
Please, Doris. You can see we're all struggling. I imagine... Dr. Cavendish will be most interested in what I have to tell him about some discoveries I've made about the condition that we're all afflicted by at the Hooverville.
She thinks for a moment and says, I'll mention it to him, but I can't guarantee he'll be interested in talking to you.
Oh, Doris, is it... I don't know you, but clearly Dr. Coombs does. Don't worry, Roscoe Malloy will pay for all of this. It's not a problem. We've got his car outside. We've borrowed it off him. You know Mr. Malloy, I'm sure. Don't worry, he'll cover the bill. He'll cover the bill.
Oh, shit.
You know, he's very successful now. He's very successful. Do you remember me? My name was Dolan. Dolan, I'm sorry. We were set upon by... We were set upon... Oh, goodness me, I think I might fall over if I'm not careful. Here, Doc, sit down. Sit down.
Oh. She glances out through the door and sees the car. You could give me a... What's that? A fast talk with a bonus die, because you do have the car. Corroborates you.
50%. Come on, lads. Bonus die. Come on. Yes, 46. Oh, God, if you hadn't given me the bonus, it wouldn't have worked. Thank you.
She says, well, I suppose if someone's footing the bill... And she walks to the counter, picks up the phone, dials a number. There's this eerie silence. The orderly is sort of hovering. He doesn't know what to do. And then you hear her say... She tries to speak quietly, but it's so quiet in here now that you can hear everything she says. She says, Dr. Coombs is here with Mr. Dolan and Maureen Frayne, and they have two children. Dr. Coombs says he's got something important to tell you about the Hooverville.
Why is she talking like that?
She says, she says... He says he'll speak to you over the phone, but keep it brief. And she offers the phone to Dr. Coombs.
Can I do my first aid roll that I've been doing while I...
Of course, yeah.
I'm going to say, I just left something in the car. I'll be right back. And I dash out to the car while this first aid roll and telephone call are happening.
Okay.
Oh, 31. It's good. It's good. I'm 50 first aid. 31 on my 50.
Okay.
Cavendish.
He says, what do you want, Coombs?
I'd like you to come down and take a look at me and a couple of friends, and most importantly, a couple of poor children. We had the most extraordinary experience tonight, and I believe we were being afflicted by some sort of parasite. I think the parasite has left us, but we're all terribly weak. I can think of no one better than you, Cavendish, to treat us and perhaps make a discovery that could change the course of science. What we've seen tonight has no precedent in any medical textbook I've seen. I'm a broken man. I can't report what we've seen tonight. No one would believe me, but you could. Your name could be go down in history as the man who was changed physics, biology, chemistry, medical science. You must see us. You must listen to what I have to tell you.
All right, I'll come down. Actually, put Doris back on.
Of course. I do.
He speaks to her through the phone for a moment, and she says, are you sure? Yes. And she hangs up and says, all right. Turns to the orderly and says, bring those children upstairs. And she leads you down one of the side corridors.
Are they coming in, the children coming in the same direction as us?
Yeah.
Okay. Could I do a psychology roll on her to see whether there's... anything sinister about?
Yeah.
And retrospectively, while she was on the phone as well, if that's permissible.
Yep.
I have rolled a 0-1.
You understand that, nurse?
You know Dr. Cavendish quite well. You know that he means well, but... And he has tried to help the Hooverville. But... You get the sense, even just on the phone with him now, that there's something he wants to say that he can't. And you feel like your appeal to him... The appeal to the ego is one thing, but you think the thing that really got him was the fact that he might be able to help.
Oh.
He knows there's a weird disease going round. And her reaction suggests that She was more taken aback that he has said that you can come in, when clearly the line up until this point has been absolutely no one.
Fantastic, good. No, when he's not going to murder us. Well, it doesn't sound like him.
The situation, clearly what you've said has changed the situation.
Oh, great.
Great, good job.
You find yourselves in a private ward near the top of the hospital, next to, as Dr. Coombs knows, the hospital administrator's quarters.
Oh.
The children have put onto these gurneys, and Dr. Cavendish comes in. He's wearing, he's clearly quickly put on a shirt and his tweed trousers. He's quite an avuncular kind of chap, greying, thinning hair, quite jowly, ruddy faced. And he comes in, and he puts some thick rubber gloves on, and he says, thank you for coming. Nathaniel, it's good to see you. I'm sorry about all of this. He seems really nervous as well.
I've barreled in at the back, and I'm carrying my fiddle, slightly out of breath, but I came up the...
Oh, yes.
Right at the back, and I'd left it in the car. But I've got the fiddle in the case. And a bit of me is hoping that I might be able to use it and pretend that it might have something other than a fiddle in. So I sort of, I hold it a little bit like a machine gun at this point.
Like Jackie Brown.
Which it obviously isn't.
I attempt to sort of brush down my doctor's coat and then realise that it's sort of missing its sleeves because I tore them off to use as bandages. So it's a weird sort of like...
Oh yeah, God. We are such a state.
Tank top.
Like a gilet doctor's
coat. A suit to gilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grotesque.
Yeah.
He says, tell me everything. What have you found? What's going on with these children?
Cavendish, it's hard to know where to begin, but...
As you're talking, he bends over them and he's sort of examining them and he looks at their skin and he's sort of occasionally murmuring and tutting and sort of, yes, but he's listening.
We believe the children are being abducted from the Hooverville and perhaps elsewhere, taken away, and some sort of, and I turn to the other two and I say so carefully, some sort of strange experiment is being conducted on them.
An experiment?
In which I believe a parasite is being introduced into their bodies, which when removed can then be, and I know this sounds crazy, forgive me, but this is what I have deduced from my own experience. The parasite can be removed from the body and then inserted into someone else, through which they will gain, I don't know how to put it, but strength, power, inner life force. I know this has no scientific explanation as we know it, but I tell you it's true because I had one of these things inside me. In fact, I believe I've had two inside me. And so has Dolan here, and
I can vouch for the fact I took one out of him, Doc.
And Maureen.
Yes.
And I turn to Maureen and I start to think, did she have one in? And I haven't taken one out of Maureen.
No. I'm not certain I did. I don't remember any moment.
I follow the doc's gaze and I look at Maureen and I'm just sort of staring at her, slightly inappropriately.
I say, Maureen, would you allow me? And I start to just put my hands towards her abdomen.
And as you do that, I grab one of your hands and I say, just wait a second, Doc.
Boris Karloff.
Wait a second. And I'm still looking at Frayn, and I can feel the strength in I nearly said Wheeler. I can feel the strength in Coombs. I'm realizing he's got more drive suddenly. I can feel this sort of desire in him.
He looks a bit better, actually.
Yeah, he looks better. He feels better in the strength which he's pushing towards him. But I'm focusing all that time that Coombs was talking. Is it Cartwright? No, not Cartwright. Cavendish Cartwright. Cavendish, when he said experiment, did I believe him with my vast 40% psychology?
In what way? Because he was just responding to...
Yeah, but was it the first time he's heard about the experiment? Because I'm thinking, you're part of the Midas Circle, right? That's why you've got this gig. This guy thinks he's your friend, you're his friend, but you're like Roscoe Molloy. You took this guy's fucking job. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm a little bit bent in my psychology, but I'd like to see if I think he's lying.
Give it a go.
Mm-hmm. Good shout.
That is a 17.
Ooh.
That's a hard, not an extreme. It's a hard success. 3 good rolls. That means it's all going to go badly wrong, guys.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You think that he, when he said experiment, he was genuinely surprised by that.
Interesting. Okay.
Parasite doesn't seem to have got a reaction from him, except for a kind of, like, that's what he expected.
Mm.
Experiment was news to him.
That's good to know.
Mm.
And you can see him, like, the cogs are whirring and he's trying to piece things together.
But I think in that moment, therefore, if I feel like he doesn't know that much, I'm going to let go of Coombs's hand.
Well, as you do that, he says, wait. And he's looking at Maureen. He says, are you suggesting that this lady has one of the parasites inside of her?
Well, I don't know. We both have. The children have. I'm not sure I ever considered that Maureen might have one as well, but...
I think everyone in that Hooverville's got them, Doc.
He turns to you, Maureen, and he says, Madam, would you submit to an examination?
Well, of course, Doctor. By the way, I succeeded on my first aid roll for Esther while I was in the waiting room. I know that's a weird way of saying that to you, but hopefully someone will understand.
That's fine.
Excellent.
He gestures to a divan near the window. He says, why don't you lie down and we'll have a look?
I instantly walk to the one with the stirrups. And no.
And put your hands in them and your ass in the air.
Like a maniac. Yeah.
Depends what you're giving birth to.
So he approaches and he says, and he puts a hand on you, Coombs, and he says, may I?
To me or to Coombs?
To Coombs, he says, may I?
What, referring to Maureen?
Hmm.
Well, that's entirely up to Mrs. Frayne, but perhaps I could explain what you might be about to experience, because it's a strange sensation. If she does have one of these parasites inside her, you won't need to make an incision. It has an effect of softening the skin is not the right way to describe it, but creating some kind of phase between the physical and the... Well, you'll find out, but don't be alarmed if when you touch her abdomen, it isn't as you expect.
He furrows his brow in sort of confusion. Well, a mix of confusion and trying to understand. And he walks up to Maureen and stands over you, Maureen. And he says, just tell me what I need to do.
While they're doing this, is there any chance I can scan around the room to see if there's any sort of jars or receptacles or...
Yeah, there are. There definitely are.
And I mean, it's bloody-minded, and I go over, I'll take anything out of it, and I go over to... I guess, really, to you, Coombs, Nathaniel, I'll go over and I go, would this work?
So I look at what he's holding, and does it look like it might be big enough to hold one of these things?
I imagine you've picked up one of those big glass... big glass jars with a with one of those
sort of thing that in Bristol you see people making kombucha in them. That's
yes,
yeah,
yes. I imagine it's got one of those sort of
used to have boiled sweets,
very blown lids that you'd keep cotton wool balls in.
Yes, exactly. I was imagining taking out,
and you've taken all the cotton wool out. You've thrown it on the floor.
It's all a bit scattered and mad.
Big enough, definitely.
Okay.
And I look at you and I say, "Or are you saying?" And there's a terrifying ellipsis between the two of us, because I've heard what you said, and I think I've understood for the first time what happened, because I was so out of it before. There's no way I'd know, but and also I felt how strong you felt. It's your will to get there.
So I sort of nod when the jar is shown to me. Well, I hadn't really considered that until he presented it to me. I say, well, let me just see if it is as I suspect. And I just like to just very gently like touch her abdomen to see whether the phasing effect happens.
It does.
Okay, I pull my hand away instantly. I don't know whether anyone's seen that happen.
Cavendish is looking right now, and he's open-mouthed in amazed bewilderment.
You saw that?
And he nods, and then he just says, pass me those forceps.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I didn't think there was one in me. Oh, God.
They have spines. They have spines.
And he lowers it. I imagine the lighting in here is very uplit and low.
Yeah.
And so his face is just in this sort of chiaroscuro as he lowers these tongs into your abdomen.
They're vicious. They bite.
I didn't know there was one inside me. I thought that you had to be bitten or... Oh, God, okay, I'll brace. And I just grip the sides of this.
You feel your internal organs being pushed aside.
Yeah.
And then...
It's like wearing a corset, but an invisible...
I've done loads of these by this point.
And then suddenly he goes, that's it. And he clenches the forceps and begins to pull. And then as the end comes out, there's something holding on. And it just sort of comes loose really slowly. And then he tugs it out.
Christ.
And it lets out this horrible squeal.
Oh, Christ.
Like a newborn baby.
Kill it.
And he just holds it up in the forceps. And he's completely stunned by what he's looking at as it writhes.
Into the jar. Quickly, into the jar.
Try and get it into the jar.
He puts it in the jar. And you get the lid on. And it's just in there, just sort of writhing around very quickly. And sometimes when it moves, it kind of has too many edges to it. Like it's not... Almost like it's bits of it are made of smoke. Like it's moving through so many dimensions at once. But it is in there.
Can I request to strike that from the minutes? I don't like that at all.
It's like a quantum, a quantum eel.
Quantum eels.
Quantum parasite.
Yeah.
Yeah. At moments it exists in two places at once and it's very disturbing to look at.
That's upsetting.
Which I think probably you've all seen it enough now that you don't take a sanity roll.
We've all seen it.
I mean, yeah.
I've seen loads.
You've seen too many.
I
was sort of including the one in the back seat as sort of a partial, but obviously one coming out of me was bad, so that triggered that. But I think
I'll take a sanity roll for it, having it done to me if you think it's necessary.
Sure. Maybe Maureen should. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't prepare you well.
No. In fact, it's suddenly become very much a boys' club of like, right, I'm going to reach into her abdomen, and she didn't really have much of a say.
I know. I do apologize for that.
This is chaos. This is the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. But it would still cause her a sanity roll, I think. So
you're lucky they haven't dismissed this as female hysteria.
Yeah. And to be fair, you're the only one of us who has had this done in a surgical environment.
Yeah.
Classic.
So 61.
Most people had it done in a car. I had it done just next to a swamp of shit.
So basically, Maureen makes a very good point about the male power in these sort of situations over the female. But none of them hear me because I'm whispering it in my own head because I've gone mad because I've just seen this thing pulled out of me and I've failed my sanity roll.
Oh, you lose one. Let's have another bout of madness.
Fuck's sake. Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
Oh, I've got some really bad news for you. So all these men are looking over you, and you look from one to the other. You see Dr. Coombs, you see Dr. Cavendish, you see Thomas Dolan, you see Professor Hawkes, and Professor Hawkes is leaning right in your face and going, "You have to get back to the house. The house needs you now. The house needs flesh." And when he says flesh, the whole room vibrates and you're suddenly transported back to the house. And you do feel this calling back to the house. Back to the house.
Did Danan call you a nerd while he's wearing a t-shirt with a sword on it?
Exactly, right?
I mean, wowzers. No, I liked it. A slur is a slur, irony or not.